1 point separates the top three.
And there's just 1 point separating the top three teams in the Premier League.
We saw Klopp take on Pep for what might be the last time.
That is a contrast. Slumped shoulders and a pumped out chest.
More VAR shambles.
What must you have for lunch if you think that's not clear and obvious?
60 million down the drain. Kai Havertz scores again.
And we're going to cover it all on episode 88 of Four Draw.
Welcome back to the Four Draw podcast, episode number 88. Roz is back after a nice little week on the slopes. You can
Come
see
on.
Roz the tan man over here. And today we're going to be bringing you everything to do with the title race. It is getting very tasty at the top of the Premier League. Arsenal sit at the summit on 70 points. Nope.
Summit. The ski joke. Love it.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah. What? How many points are you on?
We're 64, same as Liverpool. And then Man City on 63 points. Separates the masses.
It's absolutely what we love to see after we've had title races, but not really a three-horse title race, and it's absolutely driving me wild. I am so excited to see how this resolves, and that's what we can bring you today. We're going to have a little talk about the Man City-Liverpool game, a little talk about the controversies in that. We're going to have a little brief glimpse at how Arsenal overcame Brentford in what was a 2-1 win, but a little bit unsure.
Fought. Yeah, it was a hard-fought one.
And then, yeah, we're going to have a look at the team's run-ins, a little bit about their predicted points, and just give maybe our shout for who might end up lifting the Premier League trophy come the end of the season.
And we want to hear your shouts as well. Let us know in the comments down below. Right now, with 10 games left of the Premier League season.
How quickly has it flown by? Guys, if you want to get a cheeky little 10% off, check out our classic football shirts, referral link down below. Use code BORDRAW10. Get yourself a nice little 10% off any of their shirts. Absolutely amazing stuff. Link in the bio.
You're going to want to buy some Arsenal shirts because this is going to be a historic season, mate. So plan in advance. Buy some Arsenal shirts from this season. They're going to be worth buck in 20 years' time.
If you buy 10 shirts, you can get an 11th three. Free.
Come on.
So, yeah, perfect. Right, Liverpool 1, Manchester City 1. And this game, going into it, Liverpool still really without, without Alisson, without Trent, without Gravenberg, without Jota, Salah. And Salah only just coming back from an injury. We saw him getting a brief cameo in the Europa League. Their lineup
was washed.
No Konate. The back line, I think, was Kelleher, who's been good.
Monstrous.
Yeah, Conor Bradley, what a revelation he's been this season. Then you had Quansah,
who I really like. Yeah, all of these players, pre the season, you look at Kelleher, you look at Conor Bradley, you look at Quansah, you're like, who the hell are these guys? Now, you look at them in the lineup, and as a Liverpool fan, you're probably not worried as much as you were prior to season, which shows how good those players are coming in. They've kind of taken to this first team
role. They just bought into like the Klopp philosophy, like 100%. But yeah, and then you had Van Dijk, who was imperious again. You had Andy Robertson start the game.
Nah, Joe Gomez, left back.
I thought he came on.
Andy Robertson came on for Joe Gomez. But Joe Gomez and Van Dijk in that back line are the only two kind of experienced first teamers.
And then, yeah, I mean, the lineup wasn't really, it wasn't pedigree, but they showed Man City how to play, especially in the second half. The game started off and Man City were
killing them.
And they had Liverpool pinned back. There was a lot of chances. The game was quite cagey then, up until the point where we saw an absolutely outstanding bit of trickery from Kevin De Bruyne. From the corner, he spots John Stones making that run. Liverpool defenders nowhere to be seen. I think Ake is holding back. Is it Robertson?
McAllister,
yeah.
Smart from Ake, but it literally happened in the Liverpool-Chelsea game where Cole Will was a hold back and Liverpool didn't get a goal because of it. What are the rules here? Can you hold defenders and move defenders out of the line? Because we saw in that Chelsea-Liverpool game, they were talking about how if Cole would have met the trajectory of the ball and been in line, so would McAllister. McAllister was literally front post and got pushed out the way.
Yeah.
So what are we doing here?
This is sort of where we'll go to as well when we talk about what happened later on in the game, but it's the lack of consistency. We called for it repeatedly. But yeah, for me, I don't know though. This one is...
No, I back it. I think it's a goal.
This one is a goal for
so
me.
So was the one in the final the
I don't
other
think
week.
Any of the Liverpool players made an effort to go and track no. John Stones' run?
No, it's done.
He gets in at that near post and Kelleher's not expecting it. He's trying to get there and he almost gets an arm or a leg to it and it sneaks in that front post. Man City are 1-0 up and I think this could be it for Liverpool.
Could be naughty, yeah.
And
they looked, yeah, like you said, in that first 10 minutes, Man City just looked on it. De Bruyne looked on it. Endo was getting pressed heavy in the middle. And I think there was a problem there where Liverpool were trying to play out, but Man City were playing so high with the two tens of Alvarez and De Bruyne.
And you had John Stones coming in as that like third number 10 almost.
Yeah, it was naughty.
There was just a massive overload in that middle of the park for Man City and Liverpool couldn't handle it. But they did, really, up until that goal. And then after that, it was pretty much all Liverpool. I mean, I don't know about you, but I can't remember Haaland having like more than two touches.
Well, I think Haaland and De Bruyne were both terrible post-goal. And it shows because Pep Guardiola hooked Kevin De Bruyne, who took that badly. But yeah, I think it just happened when Liverpool did a bit of a tactical shift. They moved Conor Bradley a bit higher up on the pitch. And then Endo and McAllister had an extra man to play with, and that kind of stopped them getting pressed by the extra tens of Man City. And just, yeah, gave Endo more time. Endo, I think, is so good.
Such, maybe the underrated signing of the season.
I think if Liverpool go on and win the title, he's probably signing of the season.
Yeah.
Because they needed a DM, and if he gets them the title, not him personally, but if he's as like key as he is, you've got to say he's player of the season.
Yeah.
Or, signing season.
One sort of battle I wanted to highlight was Luis Diaz versus Kyle Walker. Luis Diaz seemed to have the running of Kyle Walker, in my opinion.
Yeah, Diaz had a weird game, didn't he? Because everyone was giving him all the plaudits in the world, and he had a really good game. He was giving Kyle Walker and Akanji on that side a headache.
But he
missed like three big chances.
Yeah, he had a few pot shots from outside the box. He was Liverpool's danger man, really. Mm. But it's just that lack of final third ability, really. It was a lack of clinicalness.
Like, there's one where he was one-on-one with the keeper, and you can see what he's trying to do. He's trying to bend it around the keeper, but like set it too far outside the right-hand post. And it's just, you've got to score, though. Another one where Darwin Nunez done the most disgusting reverse pass into his path, and his first touch was terrible, and you've got Gary on the comms like, oh, Luis Diaz, where is your first touch, lad? And I'm like, shut up, you prat.
But he was like the main threat in the game, really. And Harvey Elliott on the other side, I thought, had a really good game as well. He's so tidy.
Yeah.
And I think, I can't remember who it was. I think it was Micah Richards was saying, like, you don't always see it when you're watching it on TV because you don't really, the camera's only really on where the ball is. But the amount of ground that Harvey Elliott covers and the sort of pressing he does and the channels that he blocks is so pivotal to how Liverpool play. And I think he's really stepped up this season.
Do you know what they say about really good players? It's like, if you watch the football, you'll miss Harvey Elliott. But if you watch Harvey Elliott, you'll watch the football or some shit like that.
But yeah, I thought he was good. I thought Szoboszlai was tidy when he on his sort of like first start back. But yeah, Liverpool were really good. And that second half, they dominated Man City.
Yeah.
And they were good value for their goal, the penalty. It was a clear penalty.
Yeah, so
it was.
So dumb.
Was it Ake who, like, sort of short pass?
Oh, so bad. Yeah, short. He was Ortega, looking directly at Edison.
Was it Ortega or Edison?
No, Edison. And then he went off injured for clattering Nunez. But Ake was just staring right at Edison, still passed it to him, and then Edison, I don't know, he backed himself too much. He was never getting there, and
it
then
was
absolutely
a tight angle anyway.
Absolutely clarted. Nunez would have missed that.
It's like
every day.
And earlier in the game, we saw Van Dijk sort of shift Haaland and put him onto his what is a stronger foot, isn't he?
Yeah, no, there's a lot of moments from that. Unlike Man City, who I think Pep drives that out of your game, and he like lapses in concentration and silly losses of possession and loose passes. Pep will absolutely kill that out of your game immediately when you get to City. But there was a lot of that from Man City. I saw at the start of the game a lot of loose passes from Rodri, a lot of loose passes from John Stones. Ake had a lot. Edison had a lot. And I'm just thinking, this Man City side, we talk about how they put together a run at the end of the season and they start looking really good. But in my opinion, this whole season, barring a couple of games, I don't think they've been at the level of last season.
They haven't hit the heights. No. We haven't like really seen them just become a machine.
No, exactly.
All the parts are there, but
like they're so capable of pumping teams. We see that week in, week out. They can pump teams, and that's fine. But Man City, we know, are just ruthless winners. And I don't know, they're a little bit wobbly for me at the moment.
Yeah, I think as well, Rodri, I don't think, had the best game. they lacked that sort of control in the middle. I think it's why we saw Kovacic come on for De Bruyne, because I think they wanted someone who was better at holding the ball.
Yeah.
And sort of like maybe can give him a bit of a grip on the game. But I don't know. In a game where you're playing against Liverpool as a title challenge, do you bring off someone like Kevin De Bruyne?
Nah,
I don't know if it's the right tactical change. Yeah. I think Alvarez had a hard time as well on the left-hand side. He wasn't really seeing much luck.
Should we talk about Alvarez? No, we won't. That's another video. But I think Alvarez,
his stock has fallen.
His stock has fallen dramatically.
But for me, he's not playing in his position.
No, he's not.
Like if he's playing out on out nine, I think he's
really
much more
good.
Effective.
Yeah, 100%.
But yeah, let's talk about what happens slightly later on. So Liverpool dominating, I think it's like the 91st minute or something.
Yeah, I think it's an ad.
From a corner, yeah. I think the ball goes back across the box. Jeremy Doku, who looked a little bit dangerous when he came on, I don't know, it's a little bit like kung fu fighting, but we're split on this because I believe it's a penalty. I think you see McAllister come in, he sees the ball. I think he sees Doku as well and thinks, I can get a penalty out of this. He runs at him. Doku gets the ball, but also clears McAllister. And I think for me, Doku knows exactly what he's doing. And I think he's...
But what do you think he knows he's doing? Like kicking McAllister or clearing the ball?
No, he's going for the ball.
Yeah.
With his foot. But it is ridiculously high.
It's dumb. It's in the 90 whatever minute it was, fifth minute, no way in a million years should you be raising your foot in your own box.
In your own box.
I mean, so dumb. But when I watched it, I was like, clear as day penalty. Clear as day. If I was a Liverpool fan, I'd be fucking... Head would be on Mars. But the more I see it now, the less I'm convinced. Because I think, first of all, Doku has eyes on the ball. McAllister has eyes on Doku, which tells you all you need to know. Doku is going for the ball. McAllister is going to try and get contact. And fair enough, you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to engage in contact, whatever you want to do. But I saw someone tweet, who was it? Maybe it was James Lawrence Alcott. I don't know. It was like, anywhere else on the pitch, that is a free kick.
100%.
But penalties, because
the jeopardy of
the jeopardy is so much higher, the tackle should be, or the challenge should be held to a higher degree of, like, I don't know, thing. So I agree with that. It was like, for me, I don't think it's a pen anymore. I did at the time. I think I was a bit heated. I wanted Liverpool to win.
If it's a free kick, anywhere on the pitch, then it's a penalty in the penalty box.
Jeopardy. I think, for me, common sense and jeopardy. Like, I think we were at a stage where all fouls are the same. I don't think we're at that stage anymore.
But for me as well, like, you know, he knows exactly what he's doing. Like, he knows the risk. If he puts his foot up that high and he makes contact with someone, they're going to be looking at it. And for me, McAllister's seen the opportunity. He's probably seen Doku's foot and thought, well, if I go for this ball and he catches me, it's a penalty.
Yeah, 100%.
And he gets the ball, but he clears through. For me, it's dangerous.
But I think you said, like, if McAllister is thinking, if I go for this ball and he gets me, he doesn't even go for the ball. He just, like, runs into his foot.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a dangerous tackle. It's a dangerous tackle anywhere on the pitch. And I think just because it's in the penalty box, in the last dying embers of the game, I don't think it should be looked at any differently.
No, I agree. That is true.
If you replay that like 10 times, I think you're given a penalty 8 times out of 10, minimum. But what was with me is that they cleared it so quickly at VAR.
Yeah.
They went with the on-field decision. And I think... Who was the referee? Was it... I can't remember his name. But they went
John
with
Brooks?
The on-field decision because they were afraid to make the controversial decision of giving a last-minute penalty.
It would have been huge.
I think genuinely what it is, I think they're towing at two different lines here. They're playing the line where it's, oh, yeah, well, the rules are the rules and we stick to them rigidly. But they've had so much flack for doing that and making the wrong calls that they're now afraid to make big calls.
Oh, yeah, they are. The referees now are, like, the referees and the VAR room, they're all just scared.
And the issue is, if the on-field decision is a penalty, I don't think they overturn it.
No, not
because it's dangerous play. It's dangerous play. And for me, it should have been a penalty. Whether Liverpool go on and score it or not, it's a different story. But ifs, buts, maybes, it finished 1-1. And it left Arsenal laughing at the top of the table. I think this was the ideal result for our Arsenal fans.
For me, my scale of results was a draw, then a Liverpool win, then a Man City win.
100%.
I'm more scared of Man City, even though they're a point behind.
Maybe like the least in form out of
all the teams. But I'm still, they've plagued my mind.
It would have been interesting to see had Mo Salah played the whole game, because...
Yeah, he looked all right when he came on, didn't
he? Yeah, he played a few dangerous balls through to Luis Diaz, and I thought he looked pretty good when he came on. And I think maybe part of it was like, maybe Klopp seeing the bigger picture and thinking, right, well, I could risk him for this 90 minutes and we could potentially pick up 3 points against a title rival.
But
why don't we have him for the games where we're more likely to pick up the points? Mm. Do you know what I mean? Let's sort of ease him back in. And I think it's probably the right decision in the grand scheme of things. Because if he comes on and does his hammy or something, then you lose him for the rest of the season. That's it. But for me, 1-1, I think both teams would have been happy with that maybe going into this. Maybe Man City fans a little bit less.
Well, I was looking at stats pre-game, and like Man City in like the last 10 years have only won at Anfield once. So
the Anfield factor is a
They've got a bit of juju over Man City, Liverpool do. And I think Man City probably would have taken the draw pre-game as well.
Yeah, 100%. Another big game that happened on the weekend. Arsenal 2, Brentford 1. And Brentford, in my mind, they've always been a bit of a bogey team for Arsenal.
Since they arrived, they fucking beat us first game of season.
And they're quite good against the top teams. They sort of have a bit of an edge against them. But Arsenal started and they started strong again.
Continuing on like we have 2024. Our form, they put it up in the game. We've got the best form, most goals, most everything in 2024. We are the best team in world football right now.
100%. I mean...
And I don't say that flippantly.
You've smashed teams like 4-0, 5-0, 6-0 for week on end. And I thought after 10 minutes this was going to be the same. Kai Havertz scores, was it early on? Was it Kai Havertz?
Declan Rice scored
early.
Monster man.
Yeah.
I tweeted as soon as he scored, I was like, that 100 million is looking cheap.
Mate, absolutely outrageous player.
Special player.
Benny Blanco doing what he does. What a performance from him.
Yeah, 2 assists. And I want to touch on Benny Blanco a bit later on. But yeah, we'll go through the game. So, we scored, and then, like you said, you just expect Arsenal dominance after that. But we kind of, a bit of both fell off a little bit, and Brentford raised the levels a little bit, and we couldn't get in and get the extra goal. And then just before half-time, calamities of all calamities happened. Have you seen that clip of Saeed from Esports Man United? And he's like, he's watching Man United against Copenhagen in the Champions League, and he goes, "We're the masters of our own downfall." All that clip, the clip I'll show you later. The clip goes viral, and that's how I felt. Ramsdale, not the 45th minute, just before half time, Gabriel plays it into him, and he takes too long on the ball, tries to clear it, bounces off Johan Wisser, and it's 1-1 at half time after a dominant Arsenal half.
You can't help but feel for him at that point, because for me,
because this is his first start in ages.
So we're out the third game of the season.
We're out of all the cups where he was playing, apart from the Champions League where he doesn't play. He hasn't played in a while, and his confidence is probably rock bottom, especially seeing as like he's probably in and around it confidence wise when you see his David Raya start at the beginning of his time at Arsenal, and it's a bit shit, and you're thinking, oh, maybe I can have this guy. But now David Raya is on like top hot form, probably one of the best keepers in the league. Ramsdale must just look at it and think, there's no way I'm getting back in this team.
And maybe like the reason they brought Raya in is because he could play with the ball at his feet. But maybe Ramsdale will try to do a little bit of that, a little bit too much. And it's 1-1. And I think it's just, it was written that this might happen.
Oh, yeah.
It was sort of a storyline that maybe the Premier League is scripted or something. I don't know. But goes in half-time 1-1. And then it doesn't look as good.
Not at all. No, the nerves are probably there, because this is one of those games, especially knowing that we are the early kickoff and Man City Liverpool tomorrow. You're thinking, we need to get this win so that we're in the top of the league.
Do your job.
Exactly that. So for us to drop points here would have been criminal. And to do it off the back of a mistake where I think Arsenal are like, prior to this happening, like least goals conceded, mistakes lead into goals, all that stuff. So to do it in such a stupid way would have been a nightmare. So it shows a lot of mentality from the boys
to fight back.
Yeah, not to bottle it, to kind of do it the hard way. And I think I want to do a big shout out to all the kind of non-star players in this Arsenal team. Because we've got your killers. You got your Declan Rice, 100 million. You got your Saka, best right winger in world football.
Saliba.
You got Saliba, best centre back in world football. You got all these players. But right now, I'm throwing it out to Kai Havertz, 60 million down the drain. Kai Havertz scores again. Yeah. Chelsea reject. Premier League laughing stock.
What's he got? Four and five, something like that?
Yeah, 4-4, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, he's fine.
Crazy form. And I tweeted this from the Boardroom account after. I was like, 60 million for a Prem proven Champions League winner that's 24 years old. In theory, isn't even that bad a deal when there's players
the
like
context, Anton. Though. Yeah,
the context stinks.
Yeah.
But now he's starting to get form, starting to look good, starting to look like a match winner. You got other donuts like Anthony. Richarlison. Like, I like him. He scored a few goals this season, but he was 60 million. He's not doing what Havertz is doing.
No. Yeah, I agree.
So, big shout out to Kai Havertz.
For him to come back and get that winning goal, it just says it all, really, about his sort of redemption arc. And for me as well, there was Ivan Toney had an absolute outrageous effort. And I think a lot of people were saying, like, if that's Ryan God, I think he saves it.
Yeah.
Ramsdale doing Ramsdale things.
Yeah.
I would love to see nothing more than Ramsdale come back into the team and consolidate that spot, because
I'd want that solely for the fact that I think he should be England's number one, but now he's not going to be England's number
one. Oh, mate. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And I was doing a little, like starting 11 for the Euros and the players in those positions. And I was thinking, like, he really should be minimum number two.
Yeah.
But you can't
really... He might not even get on the plane.
Exactly. He might not even. So, yeah, it'd be nice to see. But, yeah, Arsenal doing what they need to do. And now they sit top of the Premier League on goal difference.
You touched on Benny Blanco. He's another player that I want on the plane. I know him and Gareth Southgate don't like each other. But for me...
He's versatile.
He's probably England's most consistently performing right back.
I mean, you've got...
Right now.
You've got...
Kieran Trippier, Newcastle falling off.
Yeah,
Trent injured. Reece James injured. Carl Walker is good. I'd probably start him. But
what you've
so
got
versatile.
As well is like you've got people calling for Joe Gomez to be on the plane, and he can play anywhere on
Ben
the back
White's
court.
A better Joe Gomez.
But Ben White in that right back position and the centre back spot, he is outrageous. So for me,
and what he's done recently, I think he got a lot of flack towards the end of last season that his offensive abilities aren't as good as his defensive, and I back that. But recently he started, I don't know if that comes with the confidence of us battering teams, maybe also the security that he's got with Declan Rice, Saliba and Gabriel behind him. He started to overlap Saka a bit more, and we saw two assists for Ben White this game. The game before that against Sheffield United, I think he got an assist and a goal. He's starting to get the attacking returns now. Another player, Kirill, comes in when we got Tomiyasu, Timber and Zinchenko all out injured. Kirill came in looking... Mustard, mate. Straight in.
Yeah, understated.
So good. Jorginho. We said the Liverpool game where he played and hadn't played before all season.
He's never played football before.
Yeah. And he came in, didn't look out of place at all.
No,
man of match
excellent.
That game. Stuck around. And yeah, he's dominating games from the base of that midfield now. He looks so good.
So yeah, Arsenal flying high. And we'll have a look now at the title race, how it's shaping up. Arsenal sit on top, 28 games played, 64 points. And what's their goal difference? Like something crazy.
46.
46 goal difference. 7 goals higher than Liverpool, who also sit on 64 points. And then Man City on 63 points and only 35 goal difference, which you don't expect out of the machine that they are. Arsenal on red hot form, 5 wins. How many? Oh, it's more than 5 wins in a row now.
I think we're 9 out of 9 in 2024.
Yeah, Liverpool 2 draws in the last 5 and Man City with the draw last game week. But the interesting part now is going to be looking at the running.
And 10 games left. It's about just ticking off game, one game at a time. That's all you hear players say. After the Sheffield United game, Ben White was doing the post-match and the lass was like, oh, you're flying at the moment. Are you dreaming about title? One game at a time. That's all they say.
Let's do a run through. So Liverpool, they've got Brighton, Sheffield United, Man United, Palace, Fulham, West Ham, Tottenham, Villa and Wolves, and potentially Everton away somewhere mixed in there. You've got Man City who face Arsenal in their next fixture at home at the Etihad.
Post-international break. So that's in about a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah. So follow that by Aston Villa at home. Then they've got Palace away, Luton, Tottenham, Forest, Wolves, Fulham, West Ham and Brighton somewhere in the mix. Arsenal playing Man City away, which is a big, big one. Then they've got Luton, Brighton, Villa, Wolves, Tottenham, big derby. Bournemouth, Man United, Everton and Chelsea somewhere in there. So a lot of people were saying that Arsenal had the hardest run in. And I think you're not too far off. I mean, Brighton away is a hard one. You've got Liverpool still got to play.
Tottenham away is a hard one.
So Brighton still got to play all three of the top three. Yeah. You've got Villa, who play all three of the top three. Tottenham play all three of the top three. Man United play Liverpool and Arsenal. And Chelsea play just Arsenal. So yeah, you're looking at Man City, maybe Brighton and Villa. But Man City, Tottenham, United and Chelsea are the big games for Arsenal. That's four big clubs. But Man United and Chelsea, I don't know. Is that more difficult than a Tottenham or...
Yeah, no, not at all. I think they're easier than that. But yeah, we have bigger games. We've got the... Obviously, coming up immediately, the juju of going to Manchester City. We have stunk up the Etihad for nothing short of a decade. So that, I think, is going to be an absolute moment for us. If we come out of the Etihad with a win... that kind of momentum wins titles, mate. Because then you go into Luton, Brighton and Villa, like the three after that, and you're flying, mate.
I mean, Brighton shipped, what was it, four against Roma.
Brighton are a bit wobbly.
Four against Tottenham. And this is a high-flying Arsenal team. Mm. And off the back of a Manchester City dub, they could be just ruthless.
What worries me is that Man City last maybe five fixtures. Forest, Wolves, Fulham, West Ham. I can't see them dropping any points there.
I mean, yeah, they've got...
Even like...
I think Villa, I think they beat.
Yeah, Villa's form recently, well, after that Spurs game. I backed Villa to put in a good performance against Spurs. Mm. Absolute capitulation.
Yeah, I think Palace as well. They're looking all right, but conceding two late goals to Luton. They've got Luton at home, which they should... really
They'll
win.
Smash them.
Tottenham
could be interesting.
Who have a little bit of juju against the
City. Tottenham have got City and then us in back-to-back games.
They could do some madness.
Both of us travel to the Spurs stadium. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Spurs have a big say in the title challenge.
And so you
So they got City, then us, then Liverpool, all in consecutive fixtures.
Which is nuts.
That is nuts. That's a nuts trio for Spurs.
Yeah, Wolves play
They'll want to get Champions League football, so they'll be fighting for something.
So, like, you're looking at where Arsenal got to play. They've got to play Luton, who are in a relegation battle. They've got to play Villa, who will be looking at Champions League.
Yeah.
They've got to play Tottenham, who will be looking at Champions League.
Yeah.
They've got to play...
Even Wolves, I think, are a worry for me.
Yeah.
They look good at the moment.
Everton as well, who could be on the last game of the season
fighting for their survival. Lives. Yeah, yeah.
Let's look at Liverpool's run. Brighton at home. I don't know. That's good.
I think that's really a win. Right. Let's be honest. That's a win. Sheffield United at home. That's a win. Manchester United away. I want to say that's a win for Liverpool, but Man United are a weird one at the moment.
Mm.
I thought Man United were going to struggle against Everton. 2-0 win.
I think if Man United play the way they do against City, Liverpool will have less luck. I think they have less ways of unlocking teams than City do.
Mm.
But...
Man United tried to go a bit too toe-to-toe with Liverpool and get punished.
It depends on who they have back. If they have Trent back, if they have Alisson back, if they have Salah back on full fitness, they have maybe Jota back, or is he maybe a little bit later than that? But they could have a few of their big hitters back.
And then they've got Palace and Fulham, that wins. Then they've got a trio that could be, or even a quad that could be a bit naughty, of West Ham, Spurs, Aston Villa and Wolves. And then sprinkled in there, you've got Europa League and then Champions League for Arsenal and City as well, which is a bit long. But
yeah, I mean...
It's going to be juicy.
It is. And we're going to see some swings. I don't think any team will sit... I think we'll see all three of these teams sit top at some point over the next 10 games. But who's going to end up there? Who fucking knows? Because it's
fucking stressed. I'm stressed.
But yeah, I mean... Put your house on the line right now, mate.
Right, before we do that, you're talking about who's going to win. I'll hit you with some Opta.
Yes.
So we did Opta earlier in the season. I think at that point it was like 65% Man City, 30% Liverpool and like 8% Arsenal. We've had changes, obviously.
Man City, I think, lost 5% and I think Arsenal gained 5% from this week's fixtures.
Oh, from this, I was going to say from last. That's just, yeah, but so Man City are sitting currently on 46%.
Yeah,
chances of winning the Premier League.
I
Liverpool,
think they are everyone's favourites still.
Yeah, still for me. Like I said earlier, I'm more scared of Man City than I am Liverpool. Man City are still my favourites. Liverpool sit on a pretty reasonable, pretty close to Man City, 35% chance of winning the Premier League. And then way down on 18% is Arsenal.
Yeah, which is weird for me because Arsenal are actually my favourites.
And, like, obviously I'm biased, but surely... I think a lot of it is to do with the running. But right now, yeah. I'd say we're stronger than Liverpool.
I was looking at the analysts we should be earlier, higher. And they had, like, the predicted points from each game, like the team's percentage chance of winning. Yeah. And I think Liverpool actually had a lower overall percentage chance of winning, like, most of their games, like, a lower average.
Right.
But I think the difference is, and it's probably unfair, especially now at this point in the season, it's the managers. Like, and I genuinely think it is. I mean, the issue is, if Arsenal go deep in the Champions League,
yeah, that's a tricky
those
one,
games
it?
Take a lot out of yeah. you. Like, we're seeing Liverpool, like, what, they're like 4-1 up in their leg or something, and they're playing half the kids again.
And we've got fucking Porto tomorrow night where we're already 1-0 down. Yeah.
Where Pepe's going to be, like, out for blood. And, yeah, I mean... The Champions League's only get harder. What happens if you go get past Porto and then you draw like a Man City?
God, it could be naughty though. Like, first time Madrid. In a hot minute where, as an Arsenal fan, I'm just like, give me fucking anyone.
The stakes are high, but this Arsenal team, I don't see who beats them. Like, I really special, don't. Mate. I think if you played Man City in 2 days' time, I think you beat them.
Yeah, in 2 days' time, probably. But if you give Pep 2 weeks of kind of rest on, mate, it could be a little bit naughty.
Mate, and anything could happen over an international break. I mean, yeah. You could see Bukayo Saka maybe pulling an injury or something. Probably. Like, you never know. Like, things come down to it. I mean, last season we saw Saliba get an injury and your season capitulated.
Facts.
So, anything can happen. Like, the football sphere has all the eyes on this. And... we know it's not going to end up how we think it will.
It's the juiciest title race, I think.
In
recent memory, for
like,
sure.
I don't know. Maybe the one before was like Leicester, Chelsea, Tottenham one.
I was thinking maybe the one where Man City and Liverpool got like 100 and 101.
Oh, and that went down to the last game of the season.
Yeah, that was pretty naughty. But
I mean, it's been so long since you had a title race.
Just fucking give it to us, mate. Just a title that isn't for Liverpool or Man City would be nice.
I saw like Man United fans were like, they just want City to win it again now.
Yeah, I saw one where it's like...
Which is everything wrong with football.
Man United fans, they got like 3 red buttons and it's like Arsenal first Premier League title in 20 years. Man City do the 4-peat or Liverpool more Premier Leagues than Manchester United. And it's like, what one do they want to press? And it's so cringe. Yeah, like you said, like how are they backing Man City?
But maybe they just don't upset the status quo. Like, you know, give Man City their last title before they end up in the National League.
I don't know. What were you going to ask? Who am I backing to win the title?
Yeah, who are you backing? Go head over heart.
So heart is Arsenal every single day.
Maybe when you said, yeah, heart, my heart, go with my heart, Liverpool.
And head is Arsenal every single day.
Yeah.
We're not fucking leaving.
I actually, if the season ended in a week's time, it's Arsenal.
What does that mean?
No, but like I'm trying to say, if like you keep this form up, I don't see who beats you.
No.
I don't see who beats you. And like for me, you've gotten over that like hump of like where small teams, you would underestimate them and you'd lose like to Bournemouth or someone.
Yeah.
Like you're just so, you're
killing them.
In the zone, you're tuned in, you've got that killer instinct going. I don't see who stops you.
You know what we'll be funny? We'll come back from international break. We'll go to the Etihad, lose 5-1 and we'll be like Arsenal were never in the championship in the title race.
Delete this episode real quick.
But up the Gunners, up Kai Havertz. We've got this, mate. Mikel Arteta, never leave my club.
Unless he goes to Barca in the summer.
Nah, never. Let us know in the comments, who do you think will win the Premier League title right now?
Will it come down to the last game of the season? Who knows?
Ladies what are our last games of the season? That'll be interesting to know. Those ones that are postponed go upwards. Wolves, West Ham and Everton. So we're talking just middle of the range teams.
So you've got Wolves who could be potentially battling for like a Conference League spot. West Ham and Everton who could be fighting for their lives. But that's 3 home fixtures.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for watching. It's been Board Draw, episode number 88.
We're back, baby.
And it's live.
The running.